You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
It is May 2nd, 2022. This is Atlanta United FC Weekly, a Home Before Dark podcast.
Started early online.
A little early. You popped a little bit early there. I am Tim Herb. As always, I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Mr. Kevin Bradley. Across the table from me, Mr. Dan James. I'm not even pointing at the screen anymore. He's on the screen. He's in his undisclosed location in the greater Atlanta, Birmingham, Nashville metro area.
Wherever ISIS cannot find.
Wherever ISIS is not
invading ISIS.
And we're also joined by our friend and special guest, Ms. Kelly Francis, down below on the screen. If you guys are watching on YouTube, thank you for joining us. It's been a long time.
I'm so happy. I know. I mean, Dan was pointing this out. I mean, with five, 6 years, maybe. Yeah. I mean, I don't feel like it's been that long since I've pushed myself on your podcast, but you know, I feel like it's still a good amount of time.
Yeah.
I think it was when we did that live thing at the training ground that Kevin set up.
I remember that. Yeah. The one where they should not have given us a live mic at the training ground. That one.
Yeah. What was that for?
The Champions League. It was for the soccer industry. Yes. Champions League. Yeah. Like Dan has a, how old is your youngest now, Dan? Three, four?
He's three. Well, he's going to be four soon.
Yeah. I have a 9 month old. Kevin is.
Got a dog.
Yeah. Kevin, are you guys married yet?
October 1st.
Okay.
Coming up. Less than 6 months.
Yep. As I was reminded by the Men's Warehouse the other day.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah.
it's just to point that out, is like they take your measurements and I'm like, I think I'll lose a little bit of weight before the wedding. He's like, no, just come in a month before and we'll remeasure you. He was like, oh, this is just for a deposit. Yeah. This isn't really for measurements.
Yeah. it's for a deposit and to get in the like production queue.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like a rough idea.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Oh,
okay.
So they know like what color you're wearing.
Right. And so they can have everything on. Things. Yeah. They can have everything on hand and ready to be tailored, but they're not going to actually do it until 30 days before actually get it. But
oh,
that's
just like
the same
anything
way
else.
Women feel about like their wedding dress, where it's like, I know a good amount of women are like super determined to like be a certain size for their wedding dress, but others are just like,
yeah, don't even get me started on my dress.
Yeah, I know. It's the corset. Like, are you doing quarter inch?
I'm starving.
Long sleeve. Yes.
I'm starving myself. I will fit into that dress.
Yeah.
God, I'm so glad I'm past my wedding. I mean, it was awesome, but it was so stressful.
Oh, no.
I'm just never going to get married, so I don't have to worry about it. That's the way I... That's
40 chess
wins.
Right there. I always playing chess while everyone's playing checkers.
To interrupt and to do a little housekeeping, if you guys are watching us live on YouTube, as I know some of you are, we have Elliot Beaven, Richard Gordon, Joe Johnstone, Annabelle Roldan taking a break from the CCP machine known as TikTok to join us. And then we got Brittany S. too joining us as always in the trap. If you guys are watching after the fact, hit the subscribe button, notification bell icon, get a notification whenever we go live. If you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and or a review. We got one this week.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
We got him.
Yeah.
It was before we even announced Kelly was coming on. So it's not because of her.
It's not because of her. I found this, I think, is a reference to Letterkenny, which I think I've seen one episode of ever. The guy's name is Shorzy69, and it's a five stars. As if you would like, I wouldn't expect anything less.
No,
I said he's a Stitcher listener. Is the title? He said been listening.
He's
the one guy who listens on Stitcher. I didn't realize that was still a thing. Who? Somebody owns Stitcher. Somebody big bought them.
Elon Musk.
Oh yeah, you're right. No. So he's been listening for a while.
I got off of Stitcher because of that. I refused to post on Stitcher because Elon Musk bought it.
Oh, been listening for a while on Stitcher with no way to give a review on there. Felt bad you guys haven't gotten a lot of, or any love lately. So figured I'd put it off long enough. Great insight on the game. And team. Sorry, had something in my throat.
So is this a pity review then? Like they felt bad, so they're pity.
I'm in support.
Doug Roberson.
Doug Roberson.
So much better than the Twitter doom and or gloom and doom I see pop up on my feed most of the time. Enjoy listening during the day at work as I'm on the road and it gets a little lonely. Then all I have to do is skip to the download and I'm feeling
all
right.
It's cool that we have truckers that listen to us.
Yeah.
Oh, he's listening to us while he's on strike. I get it. That's why he's on Stitcher.
Yeah.
Got nothing else to do. He's a trucker on strike. When he's on the road, it's all coming together.
But no, seriously, enjoy what you guys do each week, getting your perspective on the game that I love and the team that I'm behind. Look forward to each episode to hear all of your thoughts on the week prior. Cheers. That's great.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
What was that? Who is that from?
Shorzy69.
All right.
Nice.
Shorzy. Nice.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like a bot at all.
No, not at all. No. Not at all.
That's one of those machines that they feed the like a subject into and it just writes an article.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's one of those AI models.
Like there are things that are like that because that would solve so many emails.
Oh yeah. There's like even years ago, we used to get, so I worked for a marketing company, a marketing software company. We'd get hit up for companies that wanted to sell us their bot platform that would like type out some stuff and it'll spit back an entire article for you. Which is weird. It's very, very much machine written. You can tell. But yeah. Anyway, how are you guys feeling?
Pain.
Pain.
Pain. That's how I feel right now. Pain.
I was drinking heavily during that match. There was, it didn't stop.
Should we gauge emotions based on higher, better, or worse than Doug Roberson felt? Whenever Marcelino Moreno scored that goal.
Do you think like he felt his whole world crumbling down around him when he scored? Because that wasn't just like...
He already had half the article typed up whenever that happened.
He probably did. Because he did release an article a few hours ago that was like, Marcelino Moreno's got to go.
Still sucks.
He still sucks. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You said you were drinking heavily during it, Kelly?
I was up in Baltimore. I was visiting my family. It was my parents' 40th anniversary.
Oh, that's so awesome. Cheers to that. Yeah.
Yeah, cheers to them. So we started the party right at 4, and of course, game started. So I wasn't able to I had to meet and greet and do gifts and all that stuff right at 4. So we weren't able to turn on the game until 25 minutes in. After there was already a goal, which I got notified of. So, you're coming in with low expectations at that moment. I had not seen a lot of how we were playing. I mean, I had assumed it's the same old story that we keep seeing in the sense that we were the better team for most of the game. And then we shut off for, I don't know, 5 minutes. And then within those 5 minutes, we get scored on. But, this is sort of an interesting conversation because Doug Roberson is up Moreno's butt in a bad way. But there is something to be said about the fact that I love Moreno's spirit and that sometimes he can pull the weirdest stuff out of nowhere. But his ability to dribble on the ball is both a blessing and a curse because at times he goes into three people and loses possession, and then it's like, why? Well, what were you doing? Where are we going with this?
That certainly seemed to get a lot worse after that goal he scored. I noticed after he scored, it was like, oh, I'm taking on the whole team now. And it consistently became a liability, I felt like, in the second half.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And it, look, like, again, the goal made, I yelled again. It was a game was on mute. I yelled. I was in a party of older people. So it was not the most welcome thing, but it's still those moments like, well, yes, we're glad that you scored a goal. I don't want to have to count on Marcelino Moreno to actually score a goal. I mean, that's like, he's supposed to create an assist and he's supposed to, you know, be a spark of Angenoux and like take on this creative form. And the same with Almeida. Like, I'm not looking towards Almeida to score a lot of goals. I'm looking on him to carry the team on his back and be creative. We're missing a number nine completely. Like, Ronaldo's fast, but does he have a finishing touch? I mean, we can go down this line all the time, but like, the fact of the matter is that we should not have been building our attack with the idea that Joseph was going to be available to play for the full season.
Yeah, that's going to continuously seem to rear its head at this point.
It sucks, though. I mean, you look at some of the signings that teams have made in the past couple of years, and I keep going back to the CJ Sapong signing that Nashville made for a free 2 years ago, and that would have been a perfect signing for us. Like, if I think about this team right now with a guy like CJ Sapong up front, like, we're probably pretty good for a while until we get you know, a more longer term striker in place, or even like Kai Kamara, who came on for Kamara. Montreal, right?
Exactly. He's like, I want to play until I'm 40.
Bradley Wright Phillips, talk about a retirement to come play again. A game. Yeah. I mean, whenever he played for LAFC, and he definitely had legs in him before he retired, he scored a handful of goals or good goals for LAFC. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's tough. You're right, though. I mean, it's, I don't know that you can blame a midfield that dominates, because they're not the ones that you should be expecting to score. You can't, I find it hard to believe too, that you can expect a guy like Ronaldo Cisneros, who didn't play a whole hell of a lot for Chivas Guadalajara, and bring him in and immediately think he's going to bring in results.
Golden touch. Yeah,
it's not going to happen. And then your only guy who's shown, from a striker standpoint, who has shown a finishing touch this year, is Dom Dwyer. And as soon as he really starts going, he gets injured. Like
a red card.
The red card too. And then now he's dealing with an injury, and he's not even making the 18 after, you know, just, he looked like, granted, it was against the Nisa squad in Chattanooga, but those shots would have still gone.
We just need 11 Goodmans, basically.
We do need 11 Goodmans.
He's one of our best. He's probably our best striker, honestly, if he could just put it on frame.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, if you put it on frame, for sure. I have such – this is going to be so inappropriate. I have such a hard-on for Goodman just because of the work ethic. I mean, it's so attractive, and it's the same thing that you see out of Lennon. Lennon gets a little bit more emotional with how – especially – but the way that the games have been going lately, I mean, Lennon's just extremely emotional about not getting calls, and he's just not going to get them sometimes because it's MLS. It's the ref system here. But like, Gutman and our left backs and our right backs have the heart. It's just, it's lacking everywhere else. I mean, you see Ibarra and you see Roseto like putting in the work, but there's a disconnect. And like, I was reading over the post-match comments from Gutman and from Bobby Shuttleworth, and like, both of those players are talking about how like the connection between everybody, there's something missing. And I really do think it has to be with a lack of leadership. You know, Ozzy Alonso was the leader before he was injured. Brad was a leader before he was injured. Joseph was a leader. I mean, they're all leaders, but it's a difference when they're not on the field. Like, you don't have those guys yelling at you, like getting your mind back in the game. And there was a complete lack of, like, we talk about how Atlanta was like, had this clutch gene for a good run of form in the very beginning. And again, we're only 9 games in, so like, there's not much history that we can talk about with that. I mean, there's still history, but the minute we lost Ozzy, that clutch gene was gone, because that was the person in the field telling you, we're going to win this game. We still have however many minutes. Like, it's, Yeah, I mean, Annabelle's right. Miles is not a captain. I love Miles. Miles is not a captain. He's not going to be that vocal guy in your face telling you to suck it the fuck up and carry on.
Yeah, I think nobody wants to step up to be a captain because no one wants a season-ending injury, which seems to happen every single time.
That's a good point. Wait, Joseph's out for the season, Dan?
I don't have much faith in Joseph anymore.
Do you think that armband has some sort of like transitive properties? Like it's like
it's
that
smallpox band.
Yeah, just or it's like that movie. Was it Fallen with Denzel Washington and John Goodman where they just keep passing the demon back and forth?
What?
Yeah, and they just pass. You never watch. That's a good movie. Have you never
devil
watched
with the elevator? When they're all in the elevator? And one of them's the devil?
No,
that movie?
No. That movie's terrible. It's actually not that bad, but by M. Night Shyamalan standards, so it's pretty bad. No, Fallen. It's a great movie. It's
where they're in the Capitol building?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Olympus has fallen.
Yeah,
okay, good.
Exactly.
Got it.
Oh, you mean it's got a different name?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was like, I don't know that movie.
Oh my god!
Thought that was Morgan Freeman.
Was it Morgan Freeman?
I don't know.
Yeah, oh, I think it was Morgan.
In Olympus has fallen. Yes. Oh my god, you guys. Oh my god.
Fallen is an actual movie, but I just wanted to derail it because none of us knew that movie.
Denzel Washington,
the guy from 300.
Gerard Butler.
Gerard Butler's in it. That's right. Olympus has fallen. I know that movie, dude.
The lead, because it was Two-Face like Olympus has fallen, and then there's a sequel. Like it's a two-parter, right?
Yeah, too fast, too fallen.
Too fast, too fallen. I saw this meme like probably 2 years ago, and they're like, it's a missed opportunity if because they're on the precipice of Fast and Furious 10.
Yeah.
And if they don't call it Fast 10, your seatbelts, like the missed opportunity there would be like the marketing
That'd be
opportunity
really great.
There.
That'd
yeah.
be really
anyway, Dan, sorry.
That's
I digress.
Okay. So we've had, I think they were saying on the broadcast, we've had 9 different lineups. And I think this is our 9th game. So, I mean, it sounds boring. I feel like the missing link is yes, I think it's some leadership in the field. But then it's also, we just don't have it, haven't had any consistency at all. And then it's like, well, people are talking, do we want to get Moreno out? Well, what's the solution then without a Moreno? I feel like Moreno is the solution right now. He's what we have to build around. Not build around. He's what we have for the season.
You heard it first. Dan says Moreno deserves DP money. That's
well, he's had DP money, but then we brought him down. Yeah. But then it's like, well, that's a position who you would want a DP at. But then it's we don't have any DP slots available. So it's difficult for me to. I know everyone's frustrated, but I just don't know.
Don't we have a young DP slot available?
We have a U22
like an under 22?
Spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they can, they max out at was 612,000 salary.
How does it work with Joseph being out for the season? He's not out for the season. Dan just said he was. That's right. Never mind.
I think you get some cap relief, but
he
was out for the last two seasons, we didn't get a DP spot, a compensatory.
Yeah,
compensatory
I can't remember.
DP spot.
Did we talk about it on the last podcast, or was it just in the Slack when we were talking about the compensatory or like the limits to the
how much relief you get?
Yeah, how much?
I think it was
a cap relief
Slack.
It's like up to $200,000 worth of salary. Yeah. For a player who's making less than 600 or 650 or something like that, right?
Choose your own adventure pass that.
So like with
Brad, what are you talking about?
Talking about how much cap relief we get for the people who are on IR. So like Brad is making shy of 700,000. So I think we get the max relief, which is like 200,000 for him or something like that. And then for the other guys, it's scaled down. But yeah, it sucks. I mean, continuity, you're right, Dan. It is the less sexy topic, right? But I think continuity is a huge issue here because you're right. I don't know that have we fielded the same starting 11 at all this year?
I don't think so.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, that's
everything everything got fucked after Arujo got injured in the first half of the first game.
In the first 20 minutes of the season.
I think that they built their attack around him in the sense that, like, I mean, he was a focal point.
Just like I don't think there's been the same starting 11 for two games, I don't think we've gone two games without having an injury.
That's true.
Who got injured?
Yeah, who got injured in Montreal?
Sosa. Well, Sosa got injured the game.
Miami.
Prior. Right.
Yeah. And so George Campbell.
So again, we've gone one game. We haven't gone two games without an injury.
Well, it is only Monday. So
it is. There you go.
Tuesday training is not taking place yet.
Exactly.
Have we looked into like which training day has taken so many knees? Like what day did Hyndman get injured? What day did Dom Dwyer get injured? Like what?
I don't know.
Is it a certain day of the week? Is it?
I feel like at this moment with the training ground, with, you know, with the facility, they just need to do a Ted Lasso and you know, release the ghosts or the curse of some
tequila.
Sort.
Tequila!
Or tequila, burn some shit.
Yeah, get Carol Ann out there.
Stop all the birthday cake. That might be it.
Yeah.
Also, I forgot to ask. Can we cuss on this? I just started cussing without approval. Okay, I didn't know.
We're not.
I already did
mouth.
It, so I.
Yeah, no, we don't have FCC fines or whatever. I don't even think they do. I don't. They don't we don't have. They we don't have corporate exist. Overlords except Manscaped. No.
Yeah. What that?
So going back to Moreno, I mean, I think it was Kone and Wanyama would just press in and off of Moreno, and he ended up being dispossessed like four times during the game. And he's a fast guy, but when he gets the ball, he just gets a lot slower. Like, I think it was Kone who just was able to catch up with him in a few seconds and was able to body him off the ball. So in that regard, it's extremely frustrating. And then you see there was one play in the second half where Gutman was coming up the left and he was completely wide open, but Moreno decides to just turn to his right and go the opposite way. And it's like...
There was a few moments where it seemed like the front four just got out of sorts and stuck in between two fields or two mindsets of attacking one-on-one or sometimes 3v1 versus just taking the easy pass with somebody that's wide open on either side of them, whether that was Moreno, Almada did it at one point. I mean, it consistently, Arujo had one instance where it happened. Like I said, the front four seemed to consistently get into those positions to where there were options available and they just got themselves into trouble rather than taking the easy out that could have made a much easier shot on goal. And it just fell apart.
Does it sound like somebody to you? Sound like somebody who was here for 3 years as a DP?
Petey Martinez?
He was only here for like a year. No, Ezequiel Barco. Like I hear all these people complaining about Moreno being a problem and that he just dribbles and dribbles and dribbles and loses possession. But are the same people I feel like that were championing Barco, but why? Like it's the same end result.
Oh yeah.
I mean Moreno
The same thing. It's the same thing. Barco does it. It's one pass too many. And the way you're referring to, you know, the front four, it's like when they get to a certain spot in you know, the other team's final third, you're looking, their heads down. They're not raising their head and seeing an open pass. It's like they don't feel like they have enough time to figure something out when the fact that they do. I can't tell you how many times I watched this match in Montreal where it's like they cut right, but there's clearly way too much space on the left. Why don't you find space? Give yourself time. It's like when we get into the final third, we rush. It's like we have to get an immediate shot off. We don't take time to just see options. And it's so frustrating because while I am a huge proponent on the field for if you have a shot, take a shot, this team does not have the ability to shoot like that. In very small instances, we do. But most of the time, it is wide or over the bar. Take a time, raise your head, find another person, drop back, cycle it, do something. But it, you know, we talk about how well we have possession, but we just rush it. It's like you've gotten a girl in a bed now and you don't know what to do. So you freak out and it's over in 30 seconds. So like, take your time. That's all I'm going to say. Take your time.
Just to back that up. I mean, we had, happened to me so many times. We had 12 shots. We had 12 total shots. Six were outside the 18, right? we only had six inside the 18 and none in the 6 yard box, whereas Montreal had just three outside the 18, seven inside the 18, and then five inside the six. So they get in a lot closer to goal in order to have, you know, cause chaos, because we didn't create many chaotic situations in the box, whereas they did. And it's whether it's bigger guys like Kendall Miller, who seemed to body everybody off the ball, and
he fucking he just bossed us the entire, like, to see a center back play like that and the assist that he had, the assist on the second goal, right?
Yeah,
or he did, right?
He did get the assist. Yeah,
yeah.
But it's just dominated. Like, to Kelly's point, it's frustrating. We see that. However, I think Almada had two excellent free kicks, and Brazier did amazing. They were on target. Did amazing to keep them both out. And then he had a rip from outside, which I guess just went wide. But again, it's taking those more speculative shots from outside rather than trying to get in and actually providing some action in the box.
But isn't that what you want from your midfielders and your attacking midfielders? Like, they're going to be putting passes into a non-existent number nine now, but are taking shots and keeping the defense and the goalkeeper on their toes, right? Like, a person like Almada, I don't expect him necessarily to be getting into the box and shooting inside the six.
Well, I would expect someone to streak in, make some slashing runs.
We don't have those people though, right? No, like, where exactly. is that? Where,
yeah, the number nine's not there. That would be the number nine.
Well, I would say coming in from the sides, like, you know, we used to see Gressel doing it. Gutman's
getting into position regularly.
Yeah.
He's regularly inside the 6 yard box. He just can't put it on frame for whatever reason. I can't count how many opportunities he's had inside the six over the past three or four games.
Yeah.
But
I also put Brooks Lennon in that category because Brooks Lennon's are the same. Yeah.
So I think that Dan, to your point, your wingers are getting into that position, but it's the same song and dance across the board where nobody seems to be putting it away. And the goals that are getting scored are either in the last minute or two of the match or on fluke chances, like Cisneros gets right in front of the goal where it just falls into his lap. There's no real consistency in the development and the playmaking to capitalize on the chances that are being created. Like, it's not happening.
Do we have stats on how many goals that were scored against us that were from set pieces or from the run of play?
I was listening to something here today, and I think it's half. I think Jason said maybe it's half of the goals that we've given up this year have been on
ridiculous, man.
Set pieces. And if not, it's like very close to half.
And it's like teams know that. I mean, I forget who that was that had that quote about knowing that Atlanta's going to maintain 70% of possession throughout the match. So you just play defensively, take advantage of your opportunities, and just wait for your set piece, basically, because you know that's going to be your best chance to score.
That's what Kamal Miller said.
Right.
And they showed that throughout the game because they pressed when and then they got the early goal, and then they –
Yeah.
I don't think they shut up shop because Atlanta was out possessing. I felt like they understood, and their front three would go forward and like bump our defenders back, which ended up with a backward pass under not a lot of pressure, but they're trying to be more conscious of possession. And then they're crowding guys in front of their goal. And then as soon as we get the equalizer, Doug Robertson said this, it's like a light switch. Then they just went to town and was able to do what they wanted. I don't feel like I know Atlanta was on the right side of a lot of the stats, but I feel like Montreal actually were the ones who dictated this game.
No, I completely agree, Dan. It was whenever they had the lead, it's not like they bunkered and just waited for the rest of the 90 to play itself out. They took advantage of the transitions whenever they occurred, but they didn't put themselves into risky positions defensively. Atlanta capitalized with Moreno getting the possession that he had, but it's not like Montreal was just stacking 10 inside the 18 for the entirety of the match. And then as soon as they scored, it was back to business as usual, you know?
Yeah. Atlanta had opportunities though. So,
squandered yet again, story.
But again, if Atlanta's not going to capitalize on the opportunities, what's the what's the opponent need to do? I mean, Atlanta's not going to need nothing. If they can't put it away anyway, it's not like they're going to be threatened or in a position to feel like they've got to be overly aggressive or overly defensive.
It just feels like the same song and dance. I feel like we've seen since Tata left. A lot of possession without purpose,
I will say at least we're getting to that side of the pitch.
True, yeah.
Versus De Boer, where most of the possession was maintained in the middle or on our side of the field. At least we're getting closer to the 18. Maybe with the next manager, we'll be getting inside the net. Pineda out. Am I right?
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
No, but I mean, even to your point, Dan, Kamal Miller pointed that out. He's like, we know they're really good in possession. They don't do anything with it, but
right.
He said something really to the point. Yeah. It's like, yeah. I mean, he has every reason to say that. He dominated us. So, yeah. I mean.
Well, talking about our midfield, right? Our midfield is extremely talented. We have a very talented midfield. But when you actually look at like the two key players that should be also contributing to the attack, they're not. Josep's not contributing to the attack.
Because they're in Columbus. Abara is not. Nagby's goal this past weekend?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Kelly. I was saying the reason why we don't have a midfield is because he's in Columbus scoring bangers, because Nagby had a rip of a goal.
Nagby was just I miss him so bad, but you can't cause a player to not want to not leave when it has to do with family. So like in my opinion, that move was primarily out of the relationship that he has with his family and wanting to be closer to home. So there's nothing you can do about that. But, you know, we talk about roster build, and it does not feel like it's been the same since when the roster was originally built. Like, what have we lost in that sense of, like, where did that ingenue, like, where did those ideas of the roster building come from in the beginning, and then why is it not the same now?
Well, also, where's the camaraderie between the players themselves? I think there's something missing from that standpoint. Like, you don't see the relationships between teammates that you saw in those first 3 years, whether that was between Miggy and Joseph, or, you know,
is it a language barrier thing?
I don't know if that's it because there's plenty
you
of,
you got two Brazilian guys.
Well, Joseph Patrick said Machope Chol and Marcelino Moreno are apparently really good friends.
Oh, that's cool. So one guy that's playing and one guy that's not. That makes total sense. That totally gets – you're right. I'm wrong, Dan. I'm totally wrong. You're totally right. Fuck
so
me, right?
Are you only looking for relationships between players who are playing right now?
Yeah, that seems to make the biggest difference, in my opinion. It's like, hey, I heard that Jackson Conway and Mikey Ambrose are really cool off-field. Yeah, because they spent a lot of time on the bench together.
Mikey Ambrose. Like, I forgot that he's on our team.
Oh, yeah, for like a third time, like a third different stint.
Yeah.
What a trooper. What an absolute trooper. No, but you're right. I mean, whether or not it's because we don't see it on Instagram stories or whatever like we used to when the guys were all playing video games together or all going out to dinner together. I mean, I miss LGP.
Yeah.
I feel like if we had a player like him right now playing at center back instead of, say, I mean, George Campbell maybe is showing that he's not ready, or maybe he was just injured during that torrid stretch that he had.
I think he was just injured.
Yeah. And then Alan Franco, who I want to talk, was he at fault for the first goal? Was
I
that
think
his
he
man?
Was.
Yeah.
I mean,
Kamal Miller was his man, right?
It was technically his man for both, to be honest.
Yeah.
Weird, but
it sounds like a familiar trend.
Yeah, but bringing a guy in like LGP would slot in, would be a vocal leader, would bring some fire to the team, and would probably bring that off-field camaraderie too. Because I felt like he was always kind of at the center of it, him and Joseph. But I don't know. Yeah, it's tough.
It's about the relationship building. And it's somebody in the locker room that's driving the relationship building. I mean, I see people in the comments saying that they went out for somebody's birthday last week, which that's fantastic. But again, you have to have somebody like a captain that's sitting there driving people to hang out or not do things that they want to do because it's important.
An old man to drive the bus home at the end of the night.
Yeah.
Who's driving them all home?
Who's going?
Who's the Jeff Lorenowitz in the car? That's what I want.
Who's taking the boys to Hippo Hop?
Exactly.
Or Catch Air.
Exactly.
Or, yeah. Going to Treetop Quest.
Who's the chaperone?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
But you make a good point, though. That's a veteran presence, though. Where's our veteran presence?
There is no veteran presence. And it's one thing if you have it off the field with, like, say, Ozzie Alonso and Joseph are great off the field veteran presence. But to your point, I mean, Ozzie's not on the field. Brad's not on the field. Joseph's not on the field. It's one thing to hear it from the sidelines, but to hear it from your guys that are in the trenches with you on the field and being able to organize, too, because – and that's the other thing we're talking about, having, you know, giving the captain's armband away and not giving it to an attacker or like.
Well, to that point, what's the average age of this lineup right now?
It's probably like 24, 25.
Again, like that's another thing. There's no veterans anywhere to be found. It's a relatively young team across the board right now. So there's.
Who's the oldest guy in our starting 11 right now? Well,
the average age of our Alan squad Franco? Is 24.7 years, which is extremely young.
Oh my god, that's almost like San Jose, like start the kids young.
Yeah,
exactly.
But we don't have Kate Cowell. Like that's the difference. It's like, yeah, I don't. It's tough. I mean, I think Alan Franco might be our oldest starter right now, right? Or maybe Araujo
Gutman.
Gutman is like 30, isn't he?
Gutman's got the hairline of a much older man.
He's either 24 or 25 years old.
No, he's like 36.
Well, I mean, Bobby Shuttleworth.
He's definitely not running
34.
Like it. That's
for sure. Oh, yeah. Bobby Shuttleworth is probably our oldest at like 32, 33.
That's a good question, though. Do we use this summer transfer window to actually get a legit goalkeeper?
I thought we brought in Rocco Rios Novo to
shore that
up. We got him on loan. So we're keeping Bobby then is the thought for the rest of the year.
Probably I know.
Which I feel like I was thinking about this the other day. If we keep him, do we play Bobby for the rest of the year? I mean, what's the future there with Bobby Shuttleworth?
I don't know.
Should we just go in and, I mean, I guess if the results hold the same for the next 10 games, surely we just play Rocco for the rest of the season.
You would think so, right?
Though he is on loan.
I mean, Bobby can't play with his feet. Bobby cannot play with his feet, right? He said that. He's admittedly pointed that out. Pineda's built this with a goalkeeper who can play with his feet. So are we changing the way that we come out of the back?
I mean, can Rocco?
That's the question.
No, I don't.
He doesn't have ball playing ability, does he? I mean, I feel like it's a kind of a rare attribute in MLS.
I think Rocco can. I mean, that's the modern goalkeeper now, right? You play with your feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you give your fans heart attacks like Allison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if we try and go out and get another veteran center midfielder, but it's like,
you know who we can, yeah,
if we're not getting
we
a center midfielder or a fold.
Who can we get on loan, Kelly?
He's at Man City and he's not the starting goalkeeper and he needs to get time before the World Cup.
So he can just hold on to the ball while somebody slides on him and puts it in the back of the net in an FA Cup semifinal.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a brain fart I can't really forget. I feel like that's tough. Ooh. That's really tough.
But you think Stefan's not as good as Shuttleworth? That's the question.
For the money, for sure.
Who on this front office cares about money, Tim?
I care about the salary cap. We can't afford. Can we afford Zach Steffen?
We're just going to keep dropping players so that we free up more salary.
It doesn't work like that.
Money. This is the Federal Reserve, baby.
This isn't the Auburn head coaching search. We can't just buy people out and then just keep bringing them in.
Printing GAM over here, dude.
Oh, God.
GAM, TAM, inflation. BAM, WAM.
We'll figure it out in a couple of years.
Yeah, I don't know. You're right. I mean, there's Ethan Horvath, too, who's probably cheaper than Zach Steffen, who would probably want to get into the discussion for the U.S. men's national team keeper duties. But then the other guys are in MLS, right? Like, well, yeah. I don't know. Sean Johnson, Matt Turner is already on his way to Arsenal. Yeah, I don't know.
I just think there's an opportunity there.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, but I don't think, part of me thinks that we wouldn't have made the move for Rocco if we True. Were going after someone else.
True. I think that this team, my thought would be that there would be a higher focus or emphasis placed on getting a forward in the transfer window than
above all else.
Anything
we have like
else.
Six center midfield.
Yeah, we don't. I mean, yes, we're missing a veteran. Okay, but you can fill that position with a forward. It's not the ideal scenario, but I think that that's really where the front office is going to be targeting.
What about Carlos Tevez? What's he doing these days? Get him to ditch that Walker as Kane and come join us in Atlanta. I mean, we need somebody.
It's going to be if we pull in anybody, it's got to be a forward at this point because there are zero answers from this roster.
There are a handful, like the U.S. men's national team discussion about guys trying to get game time, trying to get into the 23 going into Qatar. There are a handful that are in Europe that could use some playing time over here.
You know who I'd love to have? It doesn't fit into your striker conversation, but Yunus Musa. Can we grab him? Can we keep him? Can we play with him? Can I just have him just to have him?
He would be a really exciting player to bring in.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
And then another, they're talking about Matthew Hopp. Is it Hop?
Hoppy.
Hope. Hoppy.
Hoppy.
Okay.
It's Hoppe.
But that's the striker Hoppe. Journey that we're talking about. With U.S. men's national team. Yeah.
Him, Nicholas Giacchini, Jordan Pefok. There are a couple other guys I think that are over in Europe that could. Those guys got play time. They got, you know, their accolades throughout the year. But they, I think they could probably still use some time.
Yeah, because you just need somebody on loan. It's not like you've got to sign them to some multi-year deal. You're just trying to get through the season. Again,
how about signing Daryl DK on loan?
Yeah.
Oh my God! Yes.
How incredible would that be?
But I think I don't know how bad
it's
his injury
was. It's a big body
was.
In the box.
Yeah.
Wait, I got an idea.
The crosses that we have. I mean, come on.
Why don't we sign Erling Haaland just on loan?
I see Dan has taken the piss, as it were.
So, Kelly, I want your opinion on this.
Oh, dear God.
Where are you with Joseph? Are you still in the camp that you think he's going to come back and
putting him on the spot,
Joseph of old, or do you think it's time to have a transition?
Well, thank you for making that a loaded question.
A Dan loaded question.
At least you made it quick.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that you can have Joseph without, like, you can't have Atlanta without Joseph. I just don't think that's a possibility at this point. He's made himself a staple with this club and with the city. I think that the talks of having him move would be a really hard really uncomfortable with the city. I mean, you saw when there was a dispute previously with him and a coach, and we see where we ended up with that. Do I think he's going to be the Joseph that he was? No. But do I still think he can contribute to the team? Yeah, I do. I think that, you know, when he is actually healthy, there is there is the ability in him to maybe not be the out and out striker that we knew him as, but to be a playmaker and somebody that can drop down and assist and help carry the game forward. I mean, we saw that when he go ahead. Oh, I see so many reactions.
I'm just gonna say it. You're just trying to wiggle your way out of answering the question. So do you see it? Okay, so you see him on the team. Do you see him on the team as a DP?
There you go.
As a DP, no.
Okay.
Does he accept anything less than DP money, though?
That's a bigger question. Is he going to get bigger than DP money anywhere else, considering his string of injuries? What are his other options?
That right there. He's reached the point with age and with the injuries that he's had and the fact that he had to go back and get another surgery on his knee. I don't think he's going to get DP money anywhere else.
So you're saying that it's not going to be us breaking up with Joseph. It's going to be Joseph breaking up with us.
I think there's going to be, I can't say either way. I don't think Atlanta's going to make the move to get rid of Joseph. I think that they'll try and work buying him out of a DP slot. I don't think he should be sitting in the DP slot now. I mean, like, again, he lives on such a contract, though, that it makes that hard. But Joseph is Atlanta. I mean, I have to tell you, from the minute he walked in the door, he is Atlanta.
I'm tearing up right now.
Until he retires, he is Atlanta. I mean, that's just what it is. Like,
you know, it's great.
You tell me who you think of when you think of Atlanta sports in the modern era,
Brett,
like 2000 plus. Oh my God.
I know. Right. He does this all the time, Gary. It's got a head like a milk chocolate milk dud.
Dude, white chocolate milk duds? Mind blown. I would. Gross. Yeah, my teeth would rot out.
Kelly, I don't think of anyone other than Joseph.
Miggy.
More.
Like, we get Miggy back?
No. I just mean, if you know, you were saying, what do you think of? Who do you think of whenever you think of modern Atlanta sports? And I honestly think
Freddie Freeman.
Miggy was just as iconic, as important in that run.
I think his tenure was such that it hasn't had the last. I mean, he'll certainly have a lasting impact for those that have followed the team since its inception. Mm-hmm. But I think that,
have we been better or worse without him?
No, absolutely. I agree. But his impact, I feel like, on the team and on the fan base is less than Joseph's, probably.
Yeah.
I would agree. I love Miggy. I'd gladly get rid of some players to get Miggy back. If he's leaving Newcastle, then why not? Okay. I don't know if I froze. Sorry.
You do. I mean, I would trade Moreno for Miggy. I mean, I love Moreno. I love Almiron, but I mean, that's a no-brainer.
That would be clusterfuck of Miggy, Almada, and Araujo in the midfield. Good God. Try keeping up with that.
But I feel like if Miggy came back here, it'd be kind of, I think it would be kind of depressing, as in, like, he's kind of failed in Europe.
Yeah, it's like a fall from grace.
Yeah, Miggy wouldn't do it.
Yeah, no,
for sure.
No.
He shouldn't do it. No. I mean, I think it's got to be, it's not going to be easy. If Joseph comes back and he can contribute, great. But I think he's got a fair few more years on his contract. And it's not going to be the front office. I mean, depending on the season he has, I feel like the front office have got to make, that's a tough decision. Are you going to keep him around or not be? Because you can't have players that aren't providing at a high level in DP slots in this league,
or even in TAM slots. I mean, would we be if he doesn't get back to that, would we be pulling a Atlanta United strength and conditioning and hamstringing ourselves? I mean, putting him out there just for nostalgia's sake? I mean,
you,
I have no idea.
Like, I mean, if you can TAM him down and he accepts that, like Kelly's saying, then.
But I'm even saying, like, at a TAM level, if he's a single digits goal guy after he comes back, is it worth trotting him out week after week if we're spending that amount of money?
Well,
on
again,
him?
Then you get a transition plan by keeping him in the lineup, at least that you have your veteran forward that's going to instill the Atlanta culture and Atlanta mindset and what the team wants to do and what they want to build their front line around, and your making him a transitional piece rather than the figurehead that he has been in recent years, right? So
I think we're talking a lot of futures right now. And I think the
that's fair.
Probably the mindset of the front office is get Joseph back, allow him to show the spirit that he had coming into the start of the season, which was that he wanted to be in contention for the Golden Boot. Allow him to prove himself wrong or prove others wrong. And that's just sort of where you have it with that. I think that he's given enough to this club for us to at least have faith in him to give him a good shot.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I think he'd be hard pressed to find anybody that isn't going to give him the benefit of the doubt or give him the chance to come back and prove himself. It's just more so trying to be bracing for impact more than anything else, just because I think it is on a reduced schedule than we maybe had thought a year or two ago.
It's the Freddie Freeman conundrum right now.
Yeah.
People love Freddie Freeman. I love Freddie Freeman. He got us a World Series. Great and iconic Braves player. But when they traded Freddie, there's a lot of conversation about how that was the wrong move. And I'm not saying this is equal to Joseph, because I do love Joseph. It's Joseph. But
Joseph's going to Orlando. That's what you're saying.
No, I'm saying Freddie's replacement, Matt Olson, has been doing a great job, and there's been such a little fall off from the replacement that people haven't stopped to really say, well, we want Freddie back, because the trade-off was worth it. So
yeah.
When you know the time happens, I think fine, but I'm glad I'm not having to make that decision, and I'm glad that I'm not put in that position, because like, he is an Atlanta icon.
Nobody cares if you're winning games. That's really all it comes down to.
Yeah, winning does.
Nobody
cares. Yeah.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares if it's Joseph or the next guy.
Like, he's not even in the team,
yeah,
and we're losing, yeah, and we're having this conversation. It's just unfair to him as a player.
No, you're right.
I absolutely agree.
You're right. Speaking of a player that has been spoken about earlier. Go ahead, Dan. Go ahead.
Well, I feel like it's a just conversation. I mean,
because he broached the subject.
Yeah. Fitting.
I feel like, I mean, he hasn't been the same Joseph since he came back. I mean, no, I know he's got to have.
How many games did he play this season, though, before he? Two, three games?
Two or three, right?
Yeah.
So there's such a small sample size, you can't compare.
But again, how many games has he played the past three seasons? I think that's maybe where Dan's coming from, is that the team wouldn't be in this position had he not already been in a compromised DP position going into this season, and you're coming up on 3 years now with very little production out of him.
Okay, hold on. COVID was a thing, and like,
time still marches on, Kelly. I'm sorry.
Well, he was still injured through COVID. Exactly. Yeah, it was. I mean, COVID, you're exactly right. We had a pandemic, which screwed up completely everything. But it's just, I mean, he was injured in the start of 2020. And if your star player is injured for that long amount of time, I don't think it's unreasonable to be concerned about results afterwards when he's had five surgeries and now he's had a sixth one, I believe, to get his knee right.
And was talking himself about.
Is it actually five
hiring.
Surgeries?
Yeah, he had a whole bunch of cleanup surgeries.
Okay. You could honestly equate a lot of like what we've talked about with Atlanta culture right now, with like Atlanta United's lack of identity, right? And this fact that the fan culture is sort of lost in how we feel or in how we react to the game and what we feel about the team as a whole, is that the people that we relate to and the people that we latch on to the most, the most jerseys I see at any game is Joseph's. So absolutely, there's a lack of a clear figurehead.
Yeah.
And it's so again, I think there's a lot of hypotheticals that we're talking about right now. When Joseph comes back and when he's actually able to start and play, I still think we do need another striker. We need another person there other than Joseph. That's a clear need. But I just think there's a lot of hypotheticals in the situation. I'd like to give Joseph the benefit of the doubt for everything that he's actually done for Atlanta United. And I think that I'd be willing to have this conversation with you once there's more of a sample size from this year, not including post-COVID year, which is 2021, and not including COVID year in which, you know, he tore his ACL. So that's just sort of where I'm at with it. I'm sorry that I don't have a better answer, but I think that there's a lot of hypotheticals and it's a touchy situation for anybody that truly loves this team and loves Joseph. I think we all love Joseph. We all want the best for him. We want him to be the way that he used to be because, again, figurehead and the people that everybody looked to the most. But it's a hard conversation to have.
It is. But, I mean, that's what we do as fans. We speculate. We can have conversations like this. So
yeah. The other speculation or hypothetical, I guess I should say, we're only 2 weeks away from his potential return.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be in 2 weeks.
I'm just saying, like, he had knee surgery for that scope on the 8th of April. And I think it's 4 weeks removed since to 8 weeks. Yeah, we could have him. I just wanted to bring a couple of these up. And I think maybe it's recency bias too, or maybe the frustration of seeing him get injured or seeing him need surgery again and not remembering so quickly that he did have a pretty good impact at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Carlos Rangel saying Joseph was essentially injured and he was playing well before getting his knee scoped. He was getting in good positions, just lacked finishing.
I think Joseph is still our top scorer.
Is he? No, Moreno is, right?
No, Moreno is now. Because he's the only player with two goals.
Yeah.
Because you forget, Dan, that I think the team has scored, what, 6 goals in 9 games? And it's from 5 different players or something like that?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, just 2 goals, 2 assists. Same as Moreno.
Yeah.
He also helped in assisting the attack in the sense that, again, I think we really got
the gravity well.
Araujo got injured in the first half of the first game at home.
After scoring that beautiful goal.
Oh, it was so pretty. But at the same point in time, I think that the season sort of took a turn at that moment because a clear piece that you guys had trained with in preseason to be something that Joseph could pass off to and work off of is now gone and you're having to reshift the system. I think that's a great point that was made. Like he was playing well and I thought he was getting better until they said that he wanted to get his knee rescoped. And then it was okay. So, I mean, good on him that he wanted to make sure that he was 100% right. But I mean, like even the game that he played before he went back to, where was it, like Philly or something? Like I thought he was playing well.
Well, yeah, well, you're right to your point, Gal. I mean, nobody on that team serves as like that gravity well. No forward is pulling 2 defenders with them.
And I think somebody said that earlier that, you know, Atlanta really needs somebody that's going to, Kendrick said it, we need a forward that defenders fear. Defenders don't fear anyone in our lineup. And I think that was the one, I mean,
I think Almada's getting there, to be honest.
He certainly is, but despite Joseph's physical ability or whether he was 100% or back to 2018 Joseph or not, he demanded the respect of any defensive back, regardless of who we played. And
right.
Dan, to your point, he was the gravity well that we needed on the front line to open up those lanes for the likes of Araujo and Moreno and now Almada. To hopefully get in, you know, bringing it back to what Tim and Dan were talking about earlier, to get inside of the 18 past where those midfielders would typically be at because your striker has pulled so much of those defenders towards them in that gravity well. So,
I mean, Matt, when
Wisniewski.
I cannot pronounce Wisniewski. I mean, that's exactly the point though. Joseph would come back in the midfield to receive the ball, forcing the wingers to make runs. No one's doing that now.
Yeah.
Yeah. No hold up play. No good transitional hold up play like that. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Hopefully we see him in the next, month. We see him come back and healthy for the for the long haul.
I feel like that's just the most
crucial stretch of the season.
I know that everyone's wondering what's going to happen with goalkeeper, with Guzan being out. And obviously, I feel like most people thought that Guzan maybe had a year at most left anyway because of where he was and how much we were paying for him. But I think the reason why the conversation around Joseph is so important and so intriguing right now, regardless of all of the emotional things and what he means to this team and this fan base, everything is all 100% true, Kelly. I totally agree. But it's because of everything else that's played out that Atlanta clearly does not have answers for if Joseph is not in the lineup. And I think that's where the conversation is going to continue to play this way until somebody steps up that isn't Joseph, and Joseph isn't going to be the guy forever. And that's a big question mark that this front office is going to have, whether that's in the summer transfer window or it's in the offseason next year. There's nobody behind Joseph, and Joseph can't play 90 minutes for 34 games, not including Open Cup and CONCACAF year in and year out.
Maybe next year. But I mean, to that point, that's where having a salary cap and just screwy financially structured league like this kind of leaves you hamstrung, because you invest so much in a player like Joseph. You're playing a one striker system. You're not going to spend any of your like significant allocation money or your salary cap towards an impact backup striker, because you have to fill holes in other places. And that's where this kind of shows how the league has some weak links to the way that it's structured, because you have a team that just has such a precipitous drop off in goal scoring for them because they lose one player. They can't really have another guy to insert there. Yeah. And not a lot of people play two striker systems anymore, I feel like.
Yeah.
So,
well, and to Annibal's point, to highlight my earlier point, Joseph, Araujo, Moreno, and Almada haven't played with each other yet. We've had zero consistency, which another
we're
going
to win
like,
cup.
Well, I just, you know, it's
not if you ask Will Valron.
Like, I feel like we're talking the same stuff like every week. I mean, to me, the answer is just
don't tell
inconsistency
them that
on lineups. And that's the frustrating thing to me. It's like, oh, great, another lineup. Who's injured this week? So
see if you get your paycheck this week from the fine folks at Manscaped.
It is a rotation in the sense of like every time the lineup comes out, you're sort of wondering who's going to get that starting call, right? So that's a point well played.
Yeah,
I think there's just a lot of unfortunate things that have happened this season, and we're sitting here trying to figure out what's wrong. But the problem is though, like if you guys are all faced with this math problem, right, and the variables keep changing, you're also just going to sit there and be like, I don't know how to answer this problem because you keep changing. Is it algebra? Is it whatever other
common
math?
Core. It's common core.
This
100%
shit is
common core.
Whoever created MLS's financial structure learned fucking common core. So yeah. So it's, but speaking of that, you need a scapegoat, right? And that scapegoat right now does seem to be Marcelino Moreno for some whatever reason. Like, people have to point the blame at one
person.
It's
going to be somebody.
I think you're pointing at it a lot of different people, but
yeah.
Sure.
I mean, the main one I keep seeing pop up, and mostly I want to point out Matt Wisniewski said that he was late to the trap because he was fighting Doug on Twitter.
Oh, please pull up.
He was arguing.
Please pull
with
up
Doug.
The thread. I want to see it.
We need receipts.
Yeah. Let's see, Matt.
If you want to be featured on Home Before Dark next week, be sure to go to Doug Robinson. What we think about?
Wait, where
isn't
is
he
it?
Coming on next week?
No,
I don't think so. Doug Robinson?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You guys do need. I will be out on Monday, so we got to figure out. Maybe Doug Robinson is the guy to fill in for me.
Maybe
yeah. You don't want that.
Got big.
See, Matt Wisniewski again. Panay's been changing the lineup, but not the tactics. But
it was Doug's burner on Anibal's.
Change the tactics. I feel like we just got to keep going with it.
Okay. Never mind. So I did ask the question about what people, because I was interested, because I see a lot of good whenever I watch Marcelino Moreno, a lot of positive play from him. I do see where maybe there could be some frustration in that he's not fast. He does. I mean, he had like 90%+ passing this weekend. completes a lot of his dribbles. Anyway, trying to figure out what people thought of him. And we got a couple of responses I wanted to go through real quick. Mike German, German saying at Thought Marker, saying a high risk, high reward ball progressor that needs to be on a functional team can't be relied on to carry an offense or push tempo.
Is he talking about Dan in this podcast?
Yeah. It's 9:02 and we haven't even gotten to the Dan load yet.
This has been good. I've been enjoying these comments. This is good.
And we got Pedophallus.
Whoa. Oh my god.
That is a that
thanks, Elon.
Change the start of that name.
Thanks, Elon.
Oh, this is the kind of stuff he's letting in because he's in because he's in control of Twitter already. He's a superb sub. I would use him in the second half if we need unpredictable magic. I think he does better with second half fresh legs. I mean, that would be a nice luxury to have for anybody to be able to bring Marcelino Moreno off the bench in the second half. And then Pierce Hicks, good player and contributes. Odd fit with other attackers, which actually I think that's a fair point because and it might just be continuity that we haven't really built with him and the other attackers to the point not having those guys, the front four on the field all at the same time. But he does have kind of a weird play style for the way that the other guys want to play. Mm-hmm. You say it may hold us back mid to long term with the style of not actually playing wide and clogging the middle, even though he's not good with the final pass. Not sad if we sell him, but also not mad if he stays. Just ride the fence. Riding the fence.
I wouldn't be mad if we sold him, because if we sell him right now, it's going to be for a profit.
Yeah.
You said it would be for a profit? It
would be for a profit, because you're not going to sell him at a loss right now, because you don't have any other options.
Well,
I think it's a good segue. You guys are ready for it. He's teased it. He didn't come in 30 seconds in and then drop it on you. We built up for the past hour and 5 minutes. You guys are primed. You're ready. Here it comes. Get ready for the Dan load.
All right. I swear I'd take my headphones out because Kevin always does something stupid. Chicago are bottom of the table. They're 14th in the form table. They've got 2 draws and 3 losses in the past 5 games. However, Atlanta are 11th in the form table, which is also not great. I'm going to keep this pretty quick. Kasper Schmelko, complete asshole. We've dealt with him in Philadelphia. He is their highest rated player. If you look at who scored, he's 7.14, which is compared to this is embarrassing. 7.02. He's the highest rated player. I don't have much to say about Chicago. They're pretty uninspiring. They've been playing a 4-2-3-1. So they're bottom of the East. Just lost to Red Bulls, lost to Minnesota 3-0. They drew with the Galaxy 0-0. Lost to Orlando 1-0. Drew with Dallas 0-0. So we'll probably end up losing 2-0 to them at home.
All right. Well,
I was thoroughly let down.
Yeah.
I would just kept waiting for it to be funny.
Yeah.
No. Thanks, Kelly. No,
it's the lead up that's funny. You're
so
right.
You're saying they're usually funny, Kelly? Or is this is like the first one you ever listened to.
It's the anticipation that everyone gets most excited about.
Yeah.
That's right.
So you're thinking we lose is what your synopsis of this is.
I mean, I know I said that, but I was trying to make a joke, which obviously wasn't funny. I mean, we should win this, right? We should win this one pretty comfortably.
Should win and Atlanta United in the same sentence does not exist to me anymore at this point.
Yeah.
Are we throwing out the plate, like what we think the result's going to be this weekend?
Yes.
Because I'm going to go out of left field here and say we're going to win 3-0.
Wow.
I think we've reached a precipice with the team. I think that they're just going to they're a bubble has burst. They're not going to be really pretty goals at all. They're probably going to be really ugly goals, but we get them. And then I think that, I don't know. I'm going on a ledge. It might be the wine that I've drank, but why not?
I don't think it happens.
Kelly,
I think the sky keeps falling until Joseph makes his return. I think Atlanta loses the next three.
Oof.
I don't think we win against Nashville, that's for sure.
Like I said, I think Atlanta loses the next three.
In Nashville, yeah.
Yeah.
And New England. How has New England's run of form been? I know we're talking about Chicago, but has New England turned the corner?
It hasn't been great. I mean, from what I've seen, I haven't seen recently, but it hasn't been great.
Yeah.
It hasn't been to the caliber that they were last year, for sure.
No. I mean, they're in ninth right now. I forgot Nashville's in the West now. It's so weird.
Yeah, they've won two and lost three of their last five. Though they beat Inter Miami, per my prediction. Kelly, I totally disagree with you. I think it's going to be 3-0, but I think at least one of those goals is going to be fucking gorgeous.
Who's going to score it?
Yeah, Zerdan Shaqiri is going to score it.
Gutman finally going to get one in.
Gutman's
going
to score it.
Gutman needs it.
No.
Yeah.
Alan Franco. No, it's going to be Almada.
I'm just disappointed.
I want Gutman to do like a long Jeff Lerwinowitz just banger.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I think the type of goal Gutman is going to score is where it's like bouncing around on the goal line. He falls over and like backs it in to the goal. With
just a real blue collar goal.
Like,
you know?
A real like
real steel worker goal. Yeah.
Like you look at a dirty LGP goal.
Real coal miner's goal.
Like he was one of the guys who started the unions kind of goal. Yeah, like he really got workers' rights kind of goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I like it.
Just a real industrial revolution.
I'm here for it, though.
Goal, yeah.
You know what? When that gets nominated for goal of the week, you bet who's going to win on that one.
Yeah. But is it Pringles? Is it Cheez-It? Who's doing goal of the week? Who's doing ref of the week this
year?
Isn't
it Pringles? Pringles is the ref call.
The referee one? Yeah.
Yeah.
I say
might be Cheez-Its at the goal.
I'm going to one up you guys. I'm going to say 4-0 Atlanta.
Wow.
At home.
Well,
Ronaldo Cisneros with a hat trick.
No, Jesus.
Joseph who?
Max Plays Games has already, I don't see it in the chat yet, but he's going to get a Ronaldo Cisneros tattoo. He's just going to be a big Phoenix on his back.
I'm so glad you set up my segue. Sweet. That was going to be my next awkward conversation, putting Kelly on the spot about tattoos. What's it been, 2 years now? We're coming up on midterms? And still no tattoo? Should we come with receipts on her Twitter, maybe? When's that happening?
I mean, it's taken us.
I haven't decided on the look of it.
Wow. Wow.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I don't know. Do I want it black and white? Do I want it peach color? Do I want it blue? Do I want other things attached to it?
So you should go talk to Larry Luke and get him to design it with an Atlanta United vibe to it.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
That'd be dope.
We've got the crowd funded at this point.
Beautiful things.
Yeah. Oh, he does.
You know, at the time that it's taken you to decide, you could have gotten 6 tattoos, honestly. Yeah. And you could have tried every different one and just done cover-up after cover-up.
It took me 10 years to get my first tattoo. So, like, this is honestly advanced for me. So... Tim, it takes me time with tattoos.
Tim, do you have any tattoos?
No, sir.
Yeah, me either. Fuck that.
not a chance.
I was going to get like this chicken on the side of my body, but then I thought that's just a terrible idea. Who the hell would do that?
That's great.
How you doing, Kevin?
Doing great. I love it. I love it. Oh, man. I'm going to get Dan's face tattooed on my chest.
Oh, was that your son?
No. No. Kind of.
As long as you get it with this shitty haircut I got.
Yeah.
Brittany S. in the trap. Love it. I'm feeling lucky. 3-1 Atlanta. Elliot Beaven, 5-0 Atlanta. Annabelle Rodin.
Read it. Read
cock
it.
On the side. I am right.
Oh, man.
Am
I right?
Yep.
Oh.
Very nice, Annabelle.
Matt Wisniewski, a 2-1 Atlanta. Oh, is Nashville Wednesday next week?
Yes, I think so.
Yes, it's next Wednesday.
Fuck a midweek the 11th. Game. We'll be back before then, but the midweek games suck, especially away. Oh, is anybody going to Nashville on a Wednesday night?
I will be in New York.
That's
like technically New Jersey, but yes.
Yeah, that's not New York. Yeah. I feel like that's like a really hot ticket to go watch the Tennessee Titans soccer team. did you see that?
No.
People magazine called it the Tennessee Titans soccer team.
Wow.
Did they really?
Yeah, they were taking pictures took a picture Reese Witherspoon.
The Nashville kit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's pretty embarrassing. Like, even for like tabloid standards. Hold on. Let me see if I can find what they called it. I'm pretty sure they called it Nashville.
Matt Wisniewski.
No, they did. They called it the Tennessee Titans soccer team.
Wow.
Yeah, Tennessee Titans soccer team. Yeah, you're right, Matt Wisniewski. We couldn't even get people to Kennesaw. Yeah.
That was the whole thing. Speaking of, this would be a great conversation for me to have. So, can I plug my podcast for a second?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
So,
we were going to give Wednesday, you time, explicit time, but now you guys
play
can
the
see
music.
She,
yeah. Play the music.
Push her into it.
So, the Kelly load.
We're going to every 2 weeks or whenever I actually have the ability to do it for work. But this upcoming Wednesday is going to be Will Barron on and Felipe Quintana on. So we got Felipe and Will. We're going to have them go. I wouldn't say go head to head, but it would be a contentious conversation because Percy will also be on. So it's a lot of some type of trolls on Twitter going after other trolls on Twitter. It should
be. Who's gonna flinch?
That's gonna be more vigilant in their responses.
You gotta be vigilant.
You gotta be vigilant.
When you're facing down another troll, you really gotta be vigilant.
Yeah. You don't want to go in blindfolded.
Yeah. No, you gotta be aware of the masked ones.
That's true. You gotta be aware of those guys.
Due out June. What's the date? It's June
1st.
Is it June 1st? Yeah.
Oh, I think so.
I need it.
Future New York Times bestseller, Will Barron. No, they do usually. It becomes a little hard to watch after a while when the two of them go back to back on Twitter. I feel like it used to be just them arguing about Emerson Hyndman for like weeks on end on there.
Be good.
That'd be a fun contentious episode.
There's always an argument though, no matter what you do.
Yeah, it's like anytime Barco does anything and then Josh Bagaransky somehow logs back in to have another argument about how great he was. It's like, I haven't seen you on my timeline in weeks.
Yeah.
I saw him in person at a tailgate and I was like, where did you go?
Independiente.
He had no comment. Not
Barco. River Plate.
He's too busy winning like state championships as a coach in soccer.
That's true.
Yeah. Or whatever he's got a pretty successful. Is it North Druid Hills High School, I think, is who he's coaching?
I thought it was Inter Atlanta.
Oh, maybe.
Well, I could be totally wrong. I have no idea.
I mean, he might be doing both. I see him on Inter Atlanta quite often.
I'm pretty sure, at least he was at one point coaching North Druid Hills High School. Wow. Been trying to get him back. It's been years since we've had him on here. It's been a long, long
time. I'm sure he'd be willing to jump on. I mean, I had a good conversation with him about the team when I saw him at the tailgate. You'd have to convince him.
Yeah, and the 8 o'clock start time, I think, is the big thing that holds him back just because of coaching. So maybe we'll catch him like summer.
Maybe we should leave him at 9.
No, I'm good.
And Kevin has to be in bed most nights at 9 o'clock. So
exactly.
He's got to rise and grind.
That's it.
He's got to set off that lunk alarm.
That's it.
Yeah.
Got to turn that
I'm sorry, that what? Turkey.
The lunk alarm. You know, Planet Fitness, the lunk alarm, when you drop weights and start yelling and the alarm goes, woo. Kevin has entered the building.
That's it. Turn that chicken into a turkey.
is that the ideal transformation?
Getting ripped.
That's the ideal transformation?
Uh-huh. Yeah. For me, it is.
Kelly.
No, I thought is it a rooster or a chicken that's on the side of your...
Me?
It's a steampunk chicken, isn't it?
It's not a chicken at all.
It's a bird.
I'm just fat.
It's a bird.
It's a steampunk bird.
It's just a wind-up toy bird.
Ah, okay.
Pretty sure
I was
going to
say, I thought roosters were more buff than chicken.
Yeah, no. So, I don't know. I'm not an aviation.
Speaking of bird anatomy, isn't that the fact? Yeah. Aren't roosters more built?
This conversation is taking a turn. If you want to learn more about bird facts, Kelly and friends, every 2 weeks, where can they find you at on Twitter?
Or something. At the Kelly Francis. Look, my life is not any bit simple right now. And I try to do podcasts every week. And then it seems like my work life, I get the ability to have free time until mid-April. And then it evaporates until mid-December.
I hear that.
So.
Well,
I was ambitious.
On Twitter. I don't
find
think any
on
of us
Twitter. At the Kelly Francis, or yeah, you don't need, you just find me on. I drop in people's comments and say stupid things. You can find me easily.
That's the story of this show. You can find all of us at Home Before Dark. That's before spelled being the number 4. Thank you guys for tuning in with us. Leave us a rating or comment. Hear it read aloud on the show. Like and subscribe. Hit the bell icon to get a notification each and every week. Whenever we go live, Tim will be out next week. Dan and I looking for a guest. Got any suggestions? Let us know at Home Before Dark, before spelled being the number 4. We'll see you next time. As always, be home before dark.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my gosh.